It was 1982 when I was first introduced to the musical genre better known as punk rock. And it wasn't long before I embraced the music of punk rock as well as the lifestyle being promoted by the priests of the punk scene. This includes frontmen like Johnny Rotten and Joey Ramone and my favorite Jello Biafra, who encouraged me to reject all authority and embrace the anti-government philosophy better known as anarchy. And I was all on board because I was an angry young man. Johnny Rotten, I think, sums it up succinctly in the lyrics of the song that he wrote called Anarchy in the UK. It's there in that song where he declares, "I am an antichrist and I am an anarchist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy the passerby because I want to be anarchy." Without debate, the lyrical content of this song is, by its own admission, satanic. And the proof of my point can be found in the fact that Johnny Rotten was glorifying the Antichrist as he promoted the political philosophy of anarchy, which is in complete contradiction with the government hierarchy that the Lord has created for this world. And it's sad to say that many kids, like myself, we were being led astray by these bands who were leading us to sing what I like to call the Psalms of Satan. What's even worse is that the devil has been using popular artists within every musical genre for many years in order to deceive people with doctrines of demons, which are found in the lyrics of many popular songs. Now, before you dismiss the premise of this study as being based on nothing more than Christian alarmism, we should first take a moment to consider the nature of Satan's role before his fall from heaven. You might not know this, but before his fall, Satan was an angelic being, better known as Lucifer, which means light bearer. And it was there in the Garden of God where the angel Lucifer would glorify God with the musical instruments that the Lord created for him to use. And you know, the Lord gave Lucifer this mountainous stage from which he would produce this music. And this included the instruments of timbrels, or better known as tambourines. Also pipes, which may have been like a pan flute. Not to diss on Zamfir, the master of the pan flute, but... I want to consider how the Lord describes this in Ezekiel chapter 28. It's here where he declares of Lucifer. He says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold." He was a regular Elton John. And then we're told that the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. And so he had a stage. He had a stage show. And Lucifer was established there on this mountain of God. And you know, it's there where he glorified the Lord with his timbrels or tambourines, which this is my biblical argument for why tambourines are actually satanic. But maybe that's another study. But he was given timbrels and pipes that the Lord created for him to use for the glory of God. And it's for this reason that many Bible teachers believe that Lucifer was some sort of worship leader there in the presence of the Lord. That is, until the day when iniquity was found within his heart. And it was at that point in time when he was cast down. And I want to consider how the Lord explains this here in Ezekiel chapter 28. We'll pick up at verse 15. Here the Lord rebukes Lucifer by declaring, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you." Now, here in these verses, we learn about this day when Lucifer was cast down from his mountainous stage, which was lit up with fiery stones. And the reason he was cast down is due to the fact that iniquity was found in his heart. That word iniquity, well, it's translated from the Hebrew word evil. And this word evil refers to the injustice and unrighteousness of those who engage in works of wickedness. And in order to better understand what sort of iniquity Lucifer was guilty of committing, I want to consider the lyrics of his first satanic psalm. It's actually found in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12 here. The Lord declares, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit.'" Now, here in these verses, we find the Lord exposing the five "I will" statements of Satan. Rather than glorifying the King of Kings as he was created to do, rather than singing psalms of praise, Lucifer set out to glorify himself by singing this psalm about his plans to exalt himself above the Lord. Rather than singing "God's will be done," he's saying, "I will do these things. I will exalt myself. I will glorify myself." And as we consider the lyrics of Lucifer's first satanic psalm, we must not fail to realize that the devil and his demons are still using the lyrics of Satan's psalms to lead people astray. And with all this in mind, I want to take a moment to examine our own lives by asking this. We should ask, am I a believer who is still singing the worship songs of Satan? If that's true of you, if you're still singing the worship songs of Satan, then it's my hope that this study will help you to see that the psalms of Satan are deceptive, the psalms of Satan are destructive, and the psalms of Satan are divisive. Well, with this as the outline, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Here we find Paul. He's encouraging the Christians there in Colossae to sing spiritual psalms unto the Lord. And as we make our way to the third chapter of Colossians, I just want to take a moment to point out that the word psalm, it actually speaks of music created by musicians with instruments and corresponding lyrics. And it's here in Colossians chapter 3 where we find Paul. He's actually encouraging every Christian to make sure that we're singing songs that include lyrics that are biblically based. Not only that, but Paul is also encouraging us to sing spiritual songs that include lyrics that give glory to God alone. With that, I want to consider how Paul puts it here in Colossians chapter 3. If you would look with me here, beginning at verse 16, here Paul declares, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's encouraging the Christians there at the church in Colossae to embrace the doctrines that we find contained within the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he also encourages us to use the wisdom of God's word as the basis for creating the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs that we ought to be singing unto our Savior. In this way, we can make sure that we're actually singing psalms of our Savior that glorify God and that we're not getting caught up in the "I will" songs that would be sung by Satan. Well, with this as the goal, it's important to remember that the enemy is, even today, inspiring spiritual songs, and yet they're spiritual songs that are filled with doctrines of demons. So they're spiritual songs, but they're being brought to us by seducing spirits who want to deceive us. And to prove my point, I want to consider a warning that Paul presents to Pastor Timothy. We find this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy 4. And as we make our way to the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, I want to take a moment to remind you that, you know, Paul was extremely concerned over the fact that the church would eventually be infiltrated by false teachers who would introduce doctrines of demons. And this most certainly includes the lyrics of songs that lead people to embrace the five "I wills" of Lucifer. with this as the goal, if you would look with me here at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to focus your attention beginning at verse 1. Here Paul writes, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, just to be clear here, the word doctrine, it comes from a Greek word which is used of the teachings and instructions of an educator. And so Paul's basically encouraging Timothy here to be on the lookout for those false teachers who would attempt to come in and lead believers in the church astray with teachings which are created by those fallen angels known as demons. And as we consider this warning, I want to consider the demonic doctrine that's found in most music today. Now, with this as the focus, let's spend some time considering the false teachings of a false teacher named Aleister Crowley. Crowley was actually born in England back in 1875, and though his parents were Christians, Crowley rejected the doctrines of the Bible and instead pursued a relationship with Satan. As a matter of fact, Crowley, he once said this, and I quote, "I was not content to believe in a personal devil and serve him in the ordinary sense of the word. I wanted to get hold of him personally and become his chief of staff." Aleister Crowley wanted to become Satan's chief of staff. And with this as his goal, Crowley set out to make a connection, not with just any run-of-the-mill demon, but with Satan himself. According to Lawrence Sutton of Hamline University, Crowley engaged in a blasphemous ritual during which he actually crucified a frog, which was an effigy of Jesus. And during that ceremony, Crowley declares this. He says, "Lo, Jesus of Nazareth, how thou art taken in my snare. All my life long thou hast plagued me and affronted me. In thy name, with all other free souls in Christendom, I have been tortured in my boyhood. All delights have been forbidden unto me. And that which is owed to me, they pay not in thy name." He's basically saying, I wanted to have fun. I wanted to do all the things that I wanted to do. And there were always these Christians who were trying to stop me. And so he crucifies this frog in the name of Jesus Christ in order to show his commitment to the Antichrist. Crowley then went on to declare this over the frog that he was crucifying. He says, "I therefore condemn thee, Jesus, the slave God, to be mocked and spat upon and scourged and then crucified." And then according to the person writing all of this, he says the rest of the frog's body was then burned to signify the end of the old age. In this way, Crowley was trying to usher in a new age. And as we consider all of this, there's no doubt that Aleister Crowley was an evil man who hated our Savior Jesus Christ. He even preferred to be referred to as the Great Beast 666. That's the number of the beast, 666, the number of the Antichrist. So Crowley really truly wanted to be the Antichrist. In his pursuit to become the great beast known as the Antichrist, Crowley made contact with a fallen angel whose name was Awas. And this demon named Awas, he told Crowley that he was going to become the priest of a new religion. And this religion would be designed to usher in the new age, and a new religion designed to bring an end to Christianity. Furthermore, Crowley also began to receive the doctrines of demons from this fallen angel named Awas. And like so many false teachers before him, you know, Aleister Crowley really made this contact with this demon and received doctrines of demons. And he wrote his own book. It's called The Book of the Law. I'm guessing that most of us have never read The Book of the Law. I certainly don't encourage it. But if you're unfamiliar with the book of the law, it's important to understand that most of us have been influenced by the doctrines found in the book of the law. The reason I know this is due to the fact that the doctrines of demons that are found in Crowley's writings, they've been repeated and regurgitated by seducing spirits for many, many years. And just to be clear, the demonic doctrine I'm referring to is found within the third section of this book. This third section of the book of the law is titled The Law of Thelema. And according to The Law of Thelema, this satanic book presents a simple code of conduct, which is summed up in this way. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. This was the demonic doctrine that he received from Ois. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, just do whatever you want to do. Please understand that Satan doesn't need you to worship him. He just needs you to worship you. He doesn't need you to put on a black robe and light red candles to be satanic. He just wants you to do what you want to do whenever you want to do it. Because he knows that that's already going to be in conflict with what God wants you to do. Our fallen flesh will always lead us to do something that is in conflict with the will of Christ Jesus. This doctrine of demons then is summed up with this simple statement, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Much like the first psalm sung by Satan, much like those first five I wills, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, it's just summed up with do what thou wilt. And whether you know it or not, this deceptive message is presented in some of the most popular songs ever written. And it's sad to say that there are many Christians who are unwittingly singing the psalms of Satan as they sing along with the popular songs that seem so innocent, and yet they're songs that are just based in do what thou wilt. What's even worse is that there are many Christian parents who allow their kids to listen to these songs, which were written by those who are simply regurgitating Aleister Crowley's Law of Thelema. And as a result, many kids end up being led astray and many families end up being destroyed by the content of these lyrics because, listen, these lyrics are telling kids, do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want to do. Don't worry about what your parents say. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about what God says. Do what you want to do. Well, this is nothing more than deception. And it's satanic deception. And it's being smuggled in, you know, through a nice beat and some beautiful melodies. And yet there it is, the lyrics of the song. I will do this, I will do that. And it's satanic at the core. Now this brings us to our second point because listen, the Psalms of Satan are not only created to deceive us and our kids, but the Psalms of Satan are also designed to destroy our families. And in order to understand how the Psalms of Satan can lead us down this path of destruction, let's take a closer look at what Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's notice again in verse 1, Paul declares, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, Paul here is warning Timothy about the deceiving spirits who would attempt to deceive them with these doctrines of demons, and it'll help us to know that the word deceiving, it's translated from a Greek word, which in this context, it's used to describe someone who is misleading others into the corruption of doctrinal error, which results in destruction. And so there's a misleading that brings people to embrace doctrinal error that results in the destruction of the life. And it's sad to say that there are many who claim to follow Christ, and yet rather than singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that glorify our God, they've been led back to the broad road that leads to destruction as they continue singing the psalms of Satan, which encourage them to do as they wilt. In order to understand this departure from the faith that Paul is writing about here, I want to consider the seduction of these satanic songs. And with this as the focus, let's consider the way that scholars who created the King James Version of the Bible render verse 1. They put it like this. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." From this, we can see that the demons who are sent to deceive us are going to be very seductive about their deceptive doctrines. You know, they're not just going to come along and you know, be like, "Ah, I'm a demon, I'm going to deceive you." And no. You know, you might see that in some of the more hardcore bands that are very satanic in appearance and in lyric. You know, they just tell you straight up who they are. You know, and there's a lot of people who listen to stuff like that. It's all just a big joke. Really? What's the punchline? Where's the humor? Oh, worshiping Satan, it's all just fun and games, right? Yep, until you end up in hell. Listen, I'm not as concerned about those bands because they tell you exactly who they are. What's more concerning are those who are very seducing. They're seductive in the way that they introduce their doctrines of demons. I'm reminded of something Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, where he tells us that Satan himself will transform himself into an angel of light. Remember, that's what he was before the fall. He was a beautiful angel of light who had musical instruments and performed beautifully. And so you better believe he's going to take what he knows and use it to deceive us. Paul also tells us in the same passage that Satan's ministers will transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. And with that being the case, we must understand that the seductive spirits that Paul was warning Timothy about will be beautiful ministers who are bringing doctrines that are very attractive to our fallen nature. Can't even tell you how many times I've heard people talk about, well, I just don't like the Christian music. You know, the secular music is so much more appealing to me. Well, why is that? Because it's seductive. Because it's a very attractive thing to our flesh. Our fallen flesh loves secular music. Now, as we consider the way in which the devil has a plan to send out seducing spirits who are declaring deceptive doctrines, it's also interesting to note that this is exactly the plan that the devil gave to Aleister Crowley. As a matter of fact, Crowley even revealed this plan when he declared this, and I quote him here, "Let me seduce the boys." He's speaking about the boys there in England. "Let me seduce these boys." Then he said this, he says, "These boys become men and will bring about the new heaven and the new earth." What new heaven and new earth is he talking about? Except one that is under the control of Satan. He went on to say this, "Without an army, I'm useless. Give me an army, young men, and we will sweep those dogs into the sea." He's talking about Christians. Give me an army of young men, and we will sweep these Christians into the sea, right? Now remember, Crowley was a man who wanted to become Satan's chief of staff. And after receiving the doctrines of demons from a fallen angel named Weiss, Crowley then sought to seduce young men there in England with his satanic agenda so that they might help him to go and seduce others throughout the world with demonic doctrines, thereby ushering in a new age which was in conflict with Christianity and the will of Jesus Christ. And with that being the case, we should take a moment to ask, well, did Crowley accomplish his plan? Did Crowley find young disciples there in England? Well, the answer is yes. You know, after his death, Aleister Crowley, found many followers who have been more than happy to seduce the world with his doctrines of demons. And in order to prove my point, you'll be interested to know that it was 20 years after the death of Aleister Crowley when a group of English rock stars released their 8th album, which was titled Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Interestingly enough, the lyrics of this title track begin like this. "It was 20 years ago today, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play." Think about those lyrics for a second, then I'll remind you this album was released 20 years after the death of Aleister Crowley. So who's Sgt. Pepper then? It was 20 years ago today, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. Is it possible that the Beatles were referring to Aleister Crowley as Sgt. Pepper? In order to answer this question, I'll remind you that Crowley wanted to serve Satan as his chief of staff. He wanted to seduce an army of young boys who could help him destroy the Christian faith by ushering in a new age of Satanism. Therefore, seems to stand to reason that if the Beatles were the ones, the young men who answered Crowley's call, well, then it's also possible that Sgt. Pepper is simply a symbolic homage, which is designed to pay their respects to their military commander who died of a heroin overdose 20 years before Sgt. Pepper was released. Now, I realize this could be a bit of a stretch. It could be a bit of a stretch, and so I want to continue to examine the available evidence. You might not know this, but Sgt. Pepper's album cover, it contains a crowd of people who are standing behind the Fab Four. There's a crowd of people, and Paul McCartney tells us that the plan for the album cover was to include all of their favorite heroes. Interestingly enough, they did want Hitler in the crowd, and then the record label said, no, that's a bridge too far. But if you look at a wide shot of the studio as they were putting the album cover together, because it's a life-size illustration, off to the side you see the cutout of Hitler that they removed from the picture. So it was their intention to have Hitler as part of the album cover, but they didn't. But all of the people on the album cover there with the Sgt. Pepper's, the album cover for Sgt. Pepper's, in the top left corner, there's a picture of Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley is on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album. Now remember, according to Paul McCartney, this crowd of people on the album cover, it's all their heroes. So at the very least, we know that Aleister Crowley was a hero to the Fab Four. That being the case, then it's not too difficult to imagine that the Beatles wrote this song, Sgt. Pepper's, about their hero, who died 20 years before that album was released. To further make my case, I should also point out that John Lennon once explained this. He said this, the whole Beatle idea was to obey Jesus and worship him. Oh, wait, no, that's not what he said. He said the whole Beatle idea was to do what you want. Now, where have we heard that? But just in case you didn't understand this, he goes on to explain this. Lennon declares, and I quote, do what thou wilt, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. Now, in order to understand the origin of Lennon's words, again, it'll help you to understand that the demon who was influencing Aleister Crowley led him to simply reverse the words that Jesus prayed before his crucifixion. Remember, Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And then a Weiss comes along and spins this around and gives it to Crowley in this way, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Never mind this whole whatever your will is, God. You just do whatever you will. Because that's based on Satan's rebellion when he presented the five I wills. All that being the case, John Lennon was simply seducing his audience with the central doctrine of Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law. And you can think the Beatles are the best band ever. They weren't. But anyway, you can think that they were just awesome, the Beatles, you know. They were writing the Psalms of Satan. And listen, not only was John Lennon promoting the doctrines of demons that were taught by Aleister Crowley, but he also shared Crowley's hatred of Jesus Christ when he said to the San Francisco Chronicle here that, and I quote Lennon here, Christianity will go. Now, wasn't that Aleister Crowley's goal? Yep. Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I am right and will be proved right. Well, clearly he was proved wrong. But furthermore, it's in his 1965 book titled A Spaniard in the Works, Lennon portrayed Jesus Christ as, and I quote him here, a garlic-eating, stinking, little, yellow, greasy, fascist Catholic Spaniard. That's John Lennon's perspective of Jesus Christ. But all you need is love, right? He also blasphemed the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by calling them the Father, Sock, and Mickey Most. Clearly, John Lennon was a young man from England who had been influenced, at the very least, by Aleister Crowley. And not only that, but all four of the Beatles were soldiers in Crowley's army who were happily marching to the beat of Sgt. Pepper's drum. And to further prove my point, you'll be interested to know that Harvard professor Timothy Leary, he actually himself claimed to be carrying on the work of Aleister Crowley. And he once described the Beatles as being, and I quote, the four evangelists of Crowley's satanic doctrines. So Jesus had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four evangelists. Aleister Crowley had the Beatles. Seems pretty obvious to me that Sgt. Pepper is nothing more than another name for Aleister Crowley. And listen, not only were the Beatles part of Aleister Crowley's evil army, but so was the English band, better known as the Rolling Stones. To prove my point, I'll remind you, the Sgt. Pepper's album was released 20 years after Crowley's death. And in the same year, the Rolling Stones released their album. What was the title? their satanic majesty's request. Same year, same focus. Their next album, it was titled Beggar's Banquet, and in that album they sang their famous anthem, Sympathy for the Devil. Clearly these guys weren't trying to hide their love for Satan. And in light of this satanic agenda, we have to ask, is there evidence to believe that they too, the Rolling Stones, were also part of Aleister Crowley's army? It certainly seems that way. In order to further establish this connection, it'll help you to know that there was a film producer, his name is Kenneth Anger. He was also a devoted disciple of Aleister Crowley by his own admission. And according to one Rolling Stone biographer named Tony Sanchez, we learned it was 1966 when Kenneth Anger began to teach Mick Jagger and Keith Richards about the powers and the ideas behind Aleister Crowley's magic. And Mick Jagger apparently accepted these teachings and went on then to become the musical composer for Kenneth Anger's film, which is titled Lucifer Rising, a film dedicated to Aleister Crowley. Mick Jagger composed the music for this movie. Clearly, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were both soldiers in Crowley's satanic army. And not only that, but Jim Morrison and the rest of the members of the Doors, they're also shown with a bust of Aleister Crowley on their album, which is titled 13. Morrison himself claims to have met Satan, while his keyboardist was also quick to confess that Jim Morrison was clearly possessed. And not only them, but the same is true for Led Zeppelin. You know, Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page, he was so into Aleister Crowley that he actually purchased Crowley's house. He purchased Crowley's house that Crowley once lived in and engaged in all kinds of rituals in, and he also practiced Crowley's satanic rituals live on stage during Zeppelin concerts. He did. Even in one video, you see him playing his guitar with a cello bow, and he's using it as a magician's wand. And he plays, and he points to the north, and he plays some more, and he points to the east. He plays some more, points to the south. Plays some more, points to the west. And he's cloaked and he's using this cello wand like a wand. I think he probably went to school and at Hogwarts. I don't know. He may have lived in Gryffindor or something like that. I have no idea. But in this video, after he does this ritual, which was a Crowleyan ritual. Then in the video, they superimpose the devil's face over his as he's continuing to play the guitar. Not only that, but in their Led Zeppelin 3 album, now just to be clear, an album, it's a black disc, and you put a needle on it, and as it spins, it plays music, so just in case you didn't know. And in order to not ruin the needle, there's a runoff matrix at the end, so that the needle doesn't go into the paper in the center of the album. Well, in that runoff matrix of Led Zeppelin 3 in the original printing, and I think a few after that, they inscribed in that area, "Do what thou wilt." Without debate, Aleister Crowley found a group of young men who could help him seduce the world with doctrines of demons. And how many Christians continue to sing these songs? No big deal. While failing to recognize that they're simply singing from the hymnal of hell. The same can be said for the lyrics of David Bowie, Prince, Sting, Daryl Hall, but not Oates. King Diamond, Bruce Dickinson, Ozzy Osbourne, I could just go on and on and on. These are all soldiers who were sent to seduce us with Crowley's demonic doctrines. Marilyn Manson also once stated that Crowley was one of his favorite authors. He often quotes Crowley's teachings in his lyrics. And we expect bands like Coil and Tool and Murder City Devils and these sorts of dark bands, we expect them to be promoting Crowleyism. But listen, the same message is found in pop artists like 50 Cent, Keisha, Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, and the list can go on and on and on. Case in point, Jay-Z, he has a clothing line called Rockaware. I don't even know where to get this stuff. I don't have Rock Aware money. But he has covered his clothing with Masonic symbols, with pentagrams, obelisks, pyramids, all-seeing eyes, these sorts of things. But not only that, he produced a hoodie. I think it was like an $800 hoodie. And on the front of this hoodie, it explicitly states, "Do what thou wilt." Yeah, he's a disciple of Crowley. He was a soldier in Crowley's army, still is. Lil Nas X was once featured on Sesame Street. He went on to sing a song which featured him sliding down a stripper pole into hell, where he then proceeded to give Satan a lap dance. How do you go from Sesame Street to lap dance for Satan? Sam Smith dressed up in bondage gear with devil horns at the last year's Grammys as he sang his famous song, Unholy. This is what kids are singing along with now. Unholy. Without debate, these artists, they're singing the Psalms of Satan. And not only them, but we also find the same satanic message in the songs of Billie Eilish and Post Malone and Taylor Swift, no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, the most popular artists who end up at the top of the charts are effectively singing the same satanic doctrine, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," as they encourage all manner of lawlessness. And I could spend the rest of our time just examining lyrics and just showing you in the lyrics of all these songs, you know, where they're effectively saying, do whatever you want to do. And we know that do whatever you want to do is Satan's message. Knowing that I don't have time for that, I just want to point out the game plan here. I want to point out the game plan, which has been the same plan since the day when they took those clean-cut kids, better known as the Beatles, who stepped on the stage and sang a simple song, "Love Me Do." Well, I mean, what's wrong with "Love Me Do," right? But then what did they do? Well, the Fab Four went from singing "Love Me Do" to singing about Sgt. Pepper as they celebrated Aleister Crowley. They went from singing "All You Need Is Love" to "Lucy in the Skies with Diamonds," which encourages the use of LSD. We saw the same ploy play out with Michael Jackson. Remember, as a kid, what did he sing about? A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. What's wrong with that? Nothing satanic about ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, right? As time goes on, he ends up writing "We Are the World," which introduces a line about the Lord Jesus Christ turning stones to bread, which is heresy. Yeah, he started off ABC 1, 2, 3, and then he starts singing about Jesus turning stones to bread, which Jesus did not turn the stones to bread. If Jesus turned the stones to bread, then he gave in to Satan's temptation. And if he gave in to Satan's temptation, then there's no salvation for us. That's the implication found in the song "We Are the World." How does he go from ABC 1, 2, 3 to Jesus sinned? This is the ploy. We must realize that the music industry moguls love to find young, innocent artists. Many times they pull them off of church stages, give them lots of money, and they use this young, innocent talent to acquire a captive audience. Oh, look how cute. Look how wholesome. Look how innocent. And then what do? The music industry corrupts them and turns them into Pied Pipers who are leading our kids who started listening to them on Sesame Street. Oh, look, Lil Nas S on Sesame Street. Let's watch this. Within a few years, sliding down a stripper pole into hell. Same kids, still fans. How twisted is this? We saw the same thing happen with Whitney Houston. We saw the same thing happen with Britney Spears. We saw the same thing happen with both Justin Bieber and Justin Timberlake. We saw the same thing happen with Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and the list goes on and on and on. They grab them when they're young and innocent, and then they corrupt them, and they take their fans for the ride down this path of destruction. And parents keep falling for it. Parents keep falling for this satanic ploy by giving their kids the freedom to listen to these popular artists who are singing the Psalms of Satan. And then parents wonder, why are they rebelling like this? Because they've ingrained in their brains this music that is telling them to do what thou wilt. Does do what thou wilt equal obey your parents? No. Parents, you're creating your own problem. And you better believe that there are seducing spirits who are attempting to lead our kids astray by filling their minds with these doctrines of demons. And while I'm certain that we would never take our kids to a satanic church, you would never take your kids down to the church of Satan and drop them off and say, well, whatever they tell you is fine. Would you? No, but how many of you are bringing the hymnal from that church into your home? And saying, sure, we'll sing along with these satanic songs. No big deal. I'm sure it's all good. How many of us as adults are still singing the psalms of Satan as we allow these artists to fill our minds with the doctrines of Aleister Crowley? How many of us are allowing our families, even our faith, to be destroyed by the seducing spirits who are using popular music to lead us down a broad road that leads to destruction? And with these questions in mind, I encourage you to consider the warning that the Lord Jesus presented in Matthew chapter 7. It's there where he declares, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad or popular is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." The masses that are traveling on the broad road that leads to destruction are being led astray by the beautiful sheep that are ravenous wolves inside. And it's sad to say that the devil and his demons are using musicians just like modern-day Pied Pipers who are leading our kids down this broad road, which will lead to their destruction. Remember, the enemy didn't come to entertain. He came to steal and to kill and to destroy our lives. Therefore, we'll do well to realize that his evil schemes include seductive songs that are filled with demonic doctrines. Now, this brings us to our third and final point, because listen, the psalms of Satan are not only deceptive, and the psalms of Satan are not only destructive, but the psalms of Satan are also divisive. And to explain what I mean, let's look again here at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to draw your attention back to verse 1. Paul writes, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, it'll help you to know that the word depart, it comes from a Greek word which was used in reference to soldiers who go AWOL and desert their military position. In light of this definition, I want to remind you that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are enlisted in the Lord's army. If you're a born-again believer, you are a soldier of our Savior. At the same time, I'll remind you, Aleister Crowley was looking for an army of young men as well, an army of followers, soldiers who will help usher in his satanic plan. And you better believe that there is a battle here between the soldiers of our Savior and the soldiers who are serving Satan. And according to Paul, there are going to be Christians who will desert their post because they were seduced with deceptive doctrines. Please understand, the soldiers of Satan's army who are serving under the command of Sergeant Pepper, they're using seductive songs to keep us from becoming good soldiers who stand our ground on these issues. They want us to waver. They want us to fall back. They want us to desert our post. And they use the seductive songs of Satan's hymnal to lead us astray. Proof of my point can be found in the fact that the 21st century is so far off base at this point in time. There are so many apostate churches. Many of them think it's okay to just, you know, play secular music, even satanic music, from the stage in the name of worship. Who are they worshiping? Christians who are still singing psalms of Satan are running the risk of departing from the faith. In other words, the believer who is still singing along with the seductive songs of Satan are simultaneously running the risk of creating the conditions for division within their homes, within their communities, within their church, even within their own minds. I realize that there are many Christians who will argue that, well, I don't listen to the lyrics, I just like the music. I just like the melody. I turn out the lyrics. No, you don't. The research shows that the lyrics of these songs, as you listen to them over and over and over again, are getting ingrained in your brain. I'm sure that we all have thousands and thousands and thousands of song lyrics that fill up our memory banks. And I'd love to get all that out of there, but it's still there. You quote the first part of one song line, and I'll tell you the rest of the song, and it's all right there. We can't seem to memorize Bible verses. We've got all these songs tucked away in our brains. And you might think that you're tuning out the lyrics, but you're not. It's impossible to ignore the lyrics of the songs that we repeatedly listen to, because even if you do tune out the lyrics, your brain is still receiving the download. And listen, you better believe that the lyrics of the songs that we listen to have the potential for affecting our worldview. If you think that you can listen to a satanic song telling you to do whatever you want to do over and over and over and over and over again and think that you'll not be affected by that, you're fooling yourself. The lyrics we listen to will have an effect on our worldview, for better or for worse. That being the case, I want to remind you of the encouragement that the Apostle John presented in 1 John chapter 4. There he declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Why? Because remember, they're seducing spirits with doctrines of demons. Don't believe every spirit, he says, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Johnny Rotten said it best, I am an Antichrist and I am an anarchist. The world is filled with these seducing spirits who are leading people like Johnny Rotten and Taylor Swift, and the list could go on and on. People who are trying to divide us with doctrines of demons. And it's for this reason that the Apostle John says, test the spirits. Don't just blindly or just, you know, quickly listen to music. Don't just receive this download of information from any pop artist that releases their latest album. No, examine the lyrics. Test the spirit of those lyrics. And how do we test it? But with the Word of God. We are to take the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ and test the lyrics of the songs that we're going to sing. And if those lyrics don't line up with the Word of God, and listen, I'm not talking about secular music where some guy decided to write a love song for his wife and, you know, it's just kind of a sappy love song. No, we're not talking about like secular music. We're talking about satanic music that actually promotes the belief that you can do whatever you want to do, which is most music today. You want to go get drunk? Go get drunk. Go get drunk, get in your pickup truck. You know, like I can just write a country song right now. But it's country music and it's conservative, right? No, most country music, it glorifies do what thou wilt. Give me a genre and I'll go find the most popular musicians within that genre and go look at their lyrics, and what are we going to find there? Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever's on your heart. You want to do drugs? Go do some drugs. You want to go hook up with the honeys? Go hook up with the honeys. You want to... It's all do what thou wilt. It's all satanic. In order to put a finer tip on this point, let's consider the encouragement that Paul presents to the Christians at the church in Ephesus. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And as you make your way to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I just want to take a second here to point out that the satanic songs that encourage us to do what thou wilt are simultaneously sparking the divisions that occur whenever people begin to do what they wilt. Think about it. If we all just do whatever we want to do, how much conflict is going to be caused? If we all just do what we want to do, parents, think about it in your house. Do you think that telling your kids to do whatever they want to do is going to create unity within your home? Of course not. And yet, if that's the music that they're listening to for the bulk of the day, and then they're not doing what you want them to do, well, guess why? Well, there's division in your house because they're listening to the priests of Satanism, the followers of Aleister Crowley, telling them that it's okay for them to do whatever they want to do. And then they do whatever they want to do, and now there's conflict and division in the house. The same thing happens in our community. What if we all just do whatever we want to do? You know, sometimes as I'm driving down the road and traffic is backed up on the one side and the other side's open, I could just jump over and drive on the other side, right? I'm doing whatever I want to do. Might cause a wreck down the road, but at least I'll get to that wreck quicker. Listen, if we do whatever we want to do, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be division. You come to church with the attitude, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Well, there's going to be division here. We need something that unifies us. And that includes music that would unify us. And this is the point that Paul is making here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's consider how he puts it. Beginning at verse 15, Paul declares, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Why? "Because the days are evil." Remember, that's the word that God used of the iniquity of Satan when he sang his five I will statements. The days are evil. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of yourself is." Nope. It says that we need to be wise in order to understand what the will of the Lord's is. Will that bring unity if we all agree that the will of the Lord is most important? Yeah, that's something to unify about. Then he says this, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another." How? "In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And what's the result here? "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." Rather than singing psalms of Satan that encourage the divisions caused by those who do what they wilt, let's instead become wise believers who are walking circumspectly by recognizing that we're here to submit ourselves to the will of God. And in this way, we ought to be singing the psalms of our Savior. As we sing the hymns and the spiritual songs that lead us to give thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're simultaneously creating a culture, whether in our homes or in our church, this culture that encourages unity as the Spirit of God helps us to become those believers who are submitting to one another in the fear of God as we submit to Him first. If we would submit our wills to the will of the Lord, then we will learn to submit to one another, not showing up to do whatever we want to do, but showing up to do what God wants us to do. And as we do this, the Lord will then fill us with that joy that makes us want to sing those spiritual songs, the psalms of our Savior Jesus. Now, with all this, I want to wrap up this study by asking this. Are you still singing the psalms of Satan? Are you still singing the psalms of Satan? If so, at what point Are you unwittingly crossing the line by exalting the name of Lucifer with the satanic songs that you're still singing? Now, if your reflexive response to this question is to defend your right to sing these satanic songs, then I encourage you to remember the Psalms of Satan are deceptive. And those who continue singing these satanic songs are deceiving themselves. The Psalms of Satan are also destructive. And those who sing the Psalms of Satan are on a broad road which will lead to destruction. And the Psalms of Satan are also divisive, because those who follow the advice in these satanic psalms will do whatever they want to do as they find themselves creating division with everybody else. With all that being the case, I encourage every Christian in closing, let's stop singing the Psalms of Satan. And instead, let's spend our time singing the Psalms of our Savior as we give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.